Again, we are Robert and Linnell Dotson. We are missionaries to the military in Germany. I just retired back in July from the Air Force. I did 24 years in. I started out as a F-15 mechanic and got this crazy idea that I wanted to do law enforcement when I got out, but I got the crazy idea to cross-train into what some people call MP or security forces in the Air Force, and I did that throughout the rest of my career. I enjoyed it. I miss it. That transition's been hard. Spending half my life in the service and then transitioning back to civilian life. So it's been a change. My family, Nathaniel, as I call you, please stand. Nathaniel, Brendan, Faith, Nolan, Hope, and Ryan. And then we have two more children, Bryce and Grace. They are at Pensacola Christian College. Bryce is going into information technology, and Grace is over there doing nursing. Pray for Grace as she feels the Lord's called her to medical missions over in Asia. So be praying for her as well. If you haven't already, out on the table, we have our rookie card. And those of you that know Michael Stevens, he's the one that called it our rookie card. I didn't know how to take that at first. I thought maybe we did something wrong. But I gave him the first one, and he announced it at Riverside there. And he said, yeah, pick one up. Make sure you pray for them. And I went to him after. I was like, what did you mean by rookie card? He goes, like baseball, like your rookie card. And I was like, okay, got it. So, all right, but yeah, if you want a signature, see me afterwards. I'll sign it. But they're gonna go fast because we're already working on our next generation of cards. So, again, pick one up, pray for us. I was raised in a Catholic home. And I started questioning a lot of things before I left for the service. And one of those things was, why do I have to go to a priest to confess my sins? Why can't I go to God Himself? Okay. And I'll save the rest for the missions conference. So be back for the missions conference. And I'll share a little bit more of my testimony story. But it was June 14, 1998, that I got saved.
I grew up in a home where both my parents were Christians. They had been for a while before I was born. My dad was in the military. He was in basic training when I was born. So he was in Texas when I was born in Jacksonville, Florida. And so I got to hear the gospel a lot when I was growing up and really didn't start understanding until I was 6 years old. And that's the time I understood that it was not me. I couldn't do anything. That I was. As my sister put it, I'm the good child. But I wasn't. I was good with myself, but not with God. And so at the age of 6, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And at the age of 8, I surrendered my heart to missions and to God.
Yeah, there's many times that Linnell and other people had... I know what he's... Just flashed a sign up there back there to turn my mic on. So I told him earlier, I know what he goes through because every church that we've been a part of, I've been that sound technician. So I have a heart for that. It's a privilege to be here. I met Pastor over at the European retreat. I believe it was in 2016. I went over there. I don't know how many of you know Corey Meyer. He's a missionary that's over in Spain. And he came to visit us at New Horizon Baptist Church, which is our sending church. And he said, brother, he said, you ought to go. And so I went, and I met Pastor Stewart there. And I had shared with him our future, what the Lord had planned for us. And he gave me his card and said, call me when you start out on pre-filled ministry. And so that's how we ended up here. But I went on my first mission trip in 2004. We were members at Westgate Baptist Church down in Tampa, Florida, and Brother Turner had asked the congregation if anybody wanted to go with him on a mission trip over there to India. And I just looked over at Linnell, and she's like, "You want to go?" And I said, "I do." And she's so we prayed about it. We didn't have the funds for it, but we prayed about it, and the Lord supplied. Now we were checking in at the airport. I check in, get my ticket. Brother Turner goes to check in and get his ticket, and they can't find them in the system. About that time, he gets a phone call and he says, "Hey, brother, I'm gonna have to stay behind." He's like, "You can do one of two things. You can go ahead, and I'll just meet up with you, or just wait for me, and then we'll go together." Well, being in the military, I don't know how many were in the military. So leave is hard to get time off and get leave. And so I had roughly two weeks of leave, because then there's other people that were in the books for leave. So I just decided I would go ahead and go. And he gave me his phone number, gave the missionary, it's a national missionary that was over there, and he gave me his phone number, his address. And so I get over there, and I've never seen them, didn't know what they looked like, and then trying to speak to somebody to try to get a hold of them. Finally got a hold of, talked to one of the cops that was there, one of the police, and he pointed me to the phone booth, and I got in the phone booth, and I called the son of the missionary, and he's like, "They're there." And I was like, "Okay, well, what are they wearing?" So he told me what they're wearing. And so I find them. But then along with that, my luggage didn't make it. So Brother Turner didn't go with me. I didn't get my luggage there. So the next day we went to go get some clothes for me so I could have some church clothes. Now, we were there in Bangalore. The missionary was overseeing two churches that were there in Bangalore. And so he said to me, he said, "Brother," he said, "since Brother Turner didn't make it, do you mind preaching?" And I just looked at him and went, "Okay." Now, that was my first time preaching. So I stayed up all night praying what the Lord would give me as a message. I preached that next morning. We go to lunch, and the missionary says, "Hey, that went well. You mind preaching at another church tonight?" I preached the same message again. And a woman got saved during that. So I was thankful for that. But that was, so when Brother Turner got there, I shared with him what all happened. He said, "Well, brother, you've been baptized by fire." And I said, "Yes, sir, I have." So, you touched on, Brother Farley, you touched on a few things this morning that I was going to talk about in Sunday school. You talked about the passage there in Acts this morning, and where we talked about Paul. Before Paul received Christ as his Savior, he was a persecutor of Christians. And that's what you had mentioned this morning in Sunday school. He despised them and may have even thought that they were not completely in their right mind. There's a lot of people that think we're not in our right minds. But after Paul received Christ, his heart, his mind, and his mission all changed. His mission became to tell others about Christ. There's a lost and dying world through those doors. Right here in Claremont, over in Germany, and around this world. We have that same mission today. In Mark 16:5, Jesus said, "To go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Why do we need to give the gospel? It tells us in Acts 26:18. I'll give you time to turn there. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Before we get into the message, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day, Lord, and we thank you for our salvation, Lord. We thank you for your Son dying on the cross for us. And Lord, I just ask you to just continue to be with Pastor Stewart and the Open Door Baptist Church family here. We thank you for their kindness and love to us. And Lord, we just ask you just be with all of us tonight as we open your word. And Lord, I ask you to use me as a vessel, give me the words to get your message out. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So right here in Acts 26:18, Paul is speaking to King Agrippa about his conversation to Christ. He's explaining what God had called him to do, which was to give them the good news of Christ, of Christ's love and great salvation, or the gift of salvation. We see right in the beginning of this verse, number one, to open their eyes. This means their eyes are closed and they're dealing with spiritual blindness. Without Christ, a person lives in spiritual darkness. They cannot see the true condition. I was one of those people. I was blind. I was lost. Many people shared the gospel with me. I kept rejecting it. But like I said, on June 14, 1998, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. They cannot see things in themselves that are obvious to other people. There's a few here that I'm going to list. One, drug addiction. Another one, alcoholism. Just those two together, how many people remember Adam Brown? Anybody in the Navy here? Adam Brown was born in Hot Springs, Arkansas. He was in trouble quite a bit. He loved football, he loved girls, and he loved adrenaline. If you asked his mom, Larry and Janice Brown, about Adam, they said that he didn't have a fear bone in his body. He was an adrenaline junkie. In his early 20s, he got in a dark place. He started drinking. His drinking became an alcoholic. He started experimenting drugs. He got addicted to marijuana, cocaine. He kept getting in trouble. And the judge said to him, "You can do one of two things. You can go to jail, or you can join the service." Well, he joined the service. He became a Navy SEAL. He was part of SEAL Team 6. There is a book that's written on his life, Fearless. Linnell and I had the opportunity to meet his brother. And in that book, it's signed by his family. Now, Adam Brown ended up losing his life in the service. But he went from being an alcoholic, addicted to adrenaline, alcoholic, addicted to drugs. He did get saved, became a Christian, and he became an American hero. Some other things that here, anger. Anger's another one. Hate, depression. We saw in the last couple years, we've seen a lot of depression. Mainly with COVID going on. The lockdown, the quarantine. I admit, I started to fall into that. One of the reasons was because I wasn't with my church family. Having that fellowship, that encouragement. Watching it on Facebook. Another thing, suicidal thoughts, depression, PTSD. Being a cop, you deal with that quite a bit. Not just personally, but you deal with it with your troops. I dealt with it with my airmen and my NCOs. Just the folks that I supervised. But also going to those calls. The many calls that I went on. The suicide ideations. Just recently, I had one of my former canine handlers. He texted me. He's like, sir. And they still call me sir. I keep trying to tell them I'm Rob now, but they'll still call me sir. He texts me. He's like, sir, are you busy this next week? And I said, no, I'm not. I said I have a couple things going on through the week, and then we're leaving Friday for a meeting. But I said, let's meet up on Friday morning and have breakfast. So we met up at Cracker Barrel, right there in Palm Bay. Everybody loves Cracker Barrel, right? We're all Baptists. We love to eat. So I got there early. I get to Cracker Barrel early. And one, I prayed about it. I prayed about the upcoming meeting I was going to have with him. Now, I knew some of the circumstances and some of the stuff that he was dealing with. He was on a deployment, and he came home early from that deployment. And he just had the birth of his son. So a lot of stressors going on there. So I knew a lot of things that were going on with his life. So I go in there, or before I go in, the Lord said, take a couple tracks with you. So I grabbed two tracks out of the truck and stuck them in my back pocket. So I go in, well, one I was going to give to the waitress. And the other one, any opportunity that might open up, a door might open up. So we're sitting there talking, and he's sharing with me the things that he's dealing with, and he says to me, "I'm looking for a church." And I just smiled at him. I reach in my back pocket, I pulled that tract out, and I slid it over to him. And I said, "This is where we're going to church right now. This is where we're attending." And he's like, what's the times? So I flip it over and show him the times. He texts me. We were out of town for another meeting on a Wednesday night. He texts me. He goes, 7 o'clock, right, sir? And I was like, yes. And he went. And I had given ahead of time, the pastors and our Sunday school teachers and ahead, let them know that he was going to be coming. And then we were in Hilliard, Florida, for another meeting, and he texted me. He's like, "Hey, 11 o'clock, right?" I was like, "Yep." So that evening, we were back at the same church, and right before service, I get a phone call. Now, I didn't have Pastor Dean's phone number, his office number, in my phone. So when it rang, it came up Melbourne. I was like, Melbourne? Maybe it was a church that I called? Don't know. So I answered it, and it was Pastor Dean. He said, "Brother?" And I shared with him what we were up to, just give him an update where we're at. And he said, "Does the name Mitchell come to mind?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I know he's been there visiting." And he said, "Yeah, he has." Well, this month is the missions month, so they've been having a missionary come in every Sunday. So he didn't hear Pastor Dean end up preaching. So after the service, Mitch comes down the aisle, and he goes to the pastor and he says, "I need to speak with someone." And Pastor Dean looked at him and goes, "I'm that someone." So he took him back to his office, and he sat down with him, and he said, "Mitch, what's going on?" And he said, "I have no hope." And he said, "I could show you how you can have hope." And so he showed him Romans Road, went through the Romans Road with him. He listened to him. He let the tears flow. And then he asked him, "Would you like to be saved?" And Mitch said, "Yes, I do." So he wanted to call and let me know that Mitch was saved that morning. But before that, Mitch tried to take his life. But now, he has hope, and he's saved. Another area here, thoughts that they are good, or they're good outweighs their bad. I had a conversation when I was in maintenance. Again, this was in 98, and of course I was new and trying to share the gospel. And I was talking with a contractor at work, and so I was sharing with him, and he's like, "Oh, I'm good, I'm good." And I was like, "Well, what makes you think you're good?" He said, "Oh, I obey the Ten Commandments." So I was like, "You do? Well, what's the Ten Commandments?" I said, "Name one." He couldn't even name one. I was like, "Okay." But I kept talking to him and kept talking to him. But again, right there, they think they're good outweighs their bad. The second part in this verse that we see, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. There is always a stark contrast between darkness and light. There is much darkness in the world today. Satan is the power behind the darkness in the world. He is deceitful and has brought heartache in this world through many things. Just a few of them here. Abortion. The unthinkable act of taking a life. I couldn't do that. When Lynette was pregnant with Nolan, our little ball of energy, she was having complications and went to the emergency room, and the doctor there wanted her to do a DNC because they didn't hear a heartbeat. She prayed about it and said no. 2 weeks later, she had a checkup. She was with her doctor. They found a heartbeat. Again, I don't know what I would do without that little ball of energy. Another thing that we see here is violence. Every day there is some act of violence on the news. I hate watching the news. The only time I watch it is just to get an update on what's going on. So that way when people are talking to me, hey, did you see this happen? Not really, but I'll watch the news then. The destruction, whether it be someone's property or to their lives. The riots that we had during the whole George Floyd thing. The destruction. Immorality is rampant in the world today. In contrast to that, there is God's light. Light is a picture of all that is godly. God's light is knowledge and truth. The knowledge that we are all sinners, the knowledge that we need a Savior, and the knowledge that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. We also see in this verse that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. When a person accepts Christ as their Savior, they receive the forgiveness of their sins. Their slate is wiped clean. They become a child of God, and they inherit eternal life and a home in heaven with Christ for eternity. Many times we attribute these verses as only pertaining to a person who has not been saved. Sometimes, though, we get backslidden and we look at things as of this world and turn away from God. Example, Linnell. She was raised in a Christian home. She rebelled. She was backslidden. Even though that she was witnessing to me at the time. I wasn't saved at the time when we met. We met in maintenance tech school. But turning from God, thinking that they're good. Today we think that her car accident that she had in 1998 was that turning point to bring her back to Him. I'll let her share when we come back her testimony and about that car accident. We lose sight of God's love and blessings. We begin to love the things of the world, of this world, and may even doubt our salvation. John 10, 28 and 29 shows us that we cannot lose our salvation. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. But I ask you, are you leading others to Christ or away from Him by your actions, your speech, or even your attitude at work, home, church, or just in your day-to-day activities? There was a time when I was in the service, I had one of my very first supervisors. He went to bat for me. And he shared with me why I ended up getting a poor rating on my first performance report. You know what it was? It was my poor attitude. It was my poor attitude. And because the leadership still saw that poor attitude, they were going to give me the same rating that I got the year before. But he went to bat for me. Later on in my career, I got involved, or I let some people that I worked with, some peers, affect my attitude. I had another conversation with another supervisor. He sat down with me. He said, "Rob, I know you're a Christian, and this is not you." He said, "You need to change." I went home, I prayed, got on my knees and prayed to change. I wasn't letting his light shine through me with my poor attitude. And I prayed that that wouldn't happen again. Just like I said before, having that influence on those airmen, NCOs, letting his light shine through me. And having that effect and opening those doors to be able to witness just like I've been witnessing to Mitch. The mission of all Christians is to tell others and point them to Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people," which means we belong to God, "that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light." Do others seek Jesus in you? That's what I believe a lot of my airmen and NCOs saw in me, is his light. Maybe you are here and you realize that you have been living in darkness and need Christ's light. Maybe you need to come to know him. Maybe today can be your day of salvation. If that is you, in a few moments, when the music plays, come forward and allow someone to show you from his word how you can have God's gift of salvation and a home in heaven with him. So I ask you to please stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed in an attitude of prayer. I'm going to have Pastor come up, give an invitation after we pray. Lord, I thank you for the day. And Lord, I thank you for your word. But most of all, Lord, I pray that if there is somebody that doesn't know you here today, that they would not leave these doors without coming to know you. Don't let them rest. Don't give them peace. Lord, I just ask you to work in those, open the hearts and the minds of those that are lost, that they'll come to know you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.